I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
Oh, worship the King, oh, glorious above. Oh, gratefully sing His power and His love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor.
Thank you, choir, for opening our program with that wonderful song. And thank you for joining me today for the Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. If this is the first time you're tuning in to the Voice of Hope, we want you to know that this weekly Bible teaching program is produced by Heralds of Hope. Heralds of Hope is an international gospel broadcast and literature ministry. We use electronic media to reach millions around the world with our Bible teaching programs in English and 15 other major languages. And Lord willing, we'll be adding a 16th international language later this spring. We also have a large and growing Bible and literature distribution ministry. And all of this is made possible by the faithful prayers and the generous financial support of listeners just like you. Thank you for being an important part of what God is doing. International broadcasting is expensive, so it's your generous support that enables Heralds of Hope to proclaim the good news of the gospel in many languages in many different parts of the world. And because you're such an important part of this ministry, I want to encourage you by sharing a response we received recently. And remember, when listeners express their thanks for the programs they listen to, they're really thanking you. So here's a response from a listener in Nepal who hears our broadcast, Rays of Hope. It airs 3 times each week on 33 different stations across the country of Nepal. Here's what he wrote. I own a jewelry shop. A decade ago, I was a drunkard. Because of my bad habits, my family faced many problems, and I didn't have peace in my life. I wanted to do well in my business, but I never succeeded. One day, in the evening, I heard a radio program that said only Jesus Christ could give new life and peace. And I heard the good news about Jesus Christ. This inspired me to listen to the programs on the radio regularly. And that's what led me to find a church. I met a man of God one day who took me to his church. I started to visit that church regularly, and not only me, but my whole family came to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Heralds of Hope programs began my spiritual life. Thank you very much. Let's rejoice together with the choir in this listener's salvation.
What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought. Since Jesus came into my heart, I have light in my soul for which long I have sought. Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea.
into my heart. I shall go there to dwell in that city I know, since Jesus came into my heart. And I'm happy, so happy as onward I go, since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart.
Thank you, choir. I hope that's your testimony. Maybe you weren't a drunkard, like the man whose letter I read, but we are all sinners in need of God's mercy and grace and forgiveness. We all have the potential to be controlled by our desires, our appetites, and slide into the depths of sin and despair. So we should remember, except for the grace of God, there go I. Now, on today's broadcast, I'll be returning to my teaching from the book of Daniel. If you're a regular listener, you may remember that we interrupted that teaching at the close of chapter 7. The book of Daniel is fascinating. I know there are some things in it that are hard to understand, but there's also much in it that we can understand. And what we understand can encourage us in our walk with Jesus. So I hope you can stay with me, because in a few moments we'll begin our study, Kingdoms in Succession, from Daniel chapter 8. But right now, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we rejoice in your great love and mercy to us. We confess that without your saving grace and transforming power, we too would be lost in the depths of our sin. We thank you for the testimony of this listener in Nepal, whose life has been radically changed. And now, Father, as I open the pages of Holy Scripture, I pray that your Holy Spirit will shine the light of truth into my heart and into the heart of my listening friend. Encourage our hearts together as we see how you have worked in times past. And may what you have done in the past inspire our confidence in you for the future. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In our study in the book of Daniel, we've come to chapter 8. We learned earlier that the events of chapter 7 occur chronologically between chapters 4 and 5. This was in the first year of King Belshazzar's reign. Daniel's subsequent vision, recorded here in chapter 8, occurs in the third year of Belshazzar's reign. So that's also in the interval between chapters 4 and 5. As we noted earlier, the first half of the book of Daniel provides a general overview of human history, and especially the times of the Gentiles, and the relationship of Israel to world history. The second half of the book provides much more detailed explanations, and we looked at some of those details in our study of chapter 7. Now, in Daniel chapter 8, God pulls back the curtain of human history a little bit farther, and he gives us even more detailed information about his plans. Which leads to the question, why do we need all these details? Well, first of all, and this is critical in our day, these details reassure us that God can predict the future with total accuracy and with absolute certainty. And God wanted Israel and us to know that ultimately there will be a world ruler so powerful that he will try to usurp God's position. In the New Testament, that ruler is called the Antichrist. The men and kingdoms that we look at in our text were prototypes, if you will, of that coming one who is referred to as the man of sin and the son of perdition. Secondly, I believe these revelations Daniel received provided hope and encouragement. Hope and encouragement to the people of Israel in some of their darkest hours of suffering. And these details also help prepare us for what still lies ahead in the future. If you and I believe in the inspiration of Scripture and its inerrancy, we can be confident that God knew we needed this portion of His divine revelation. So with that in mind, we turn to the text, Daniel chapter 8 and verses 1 to 27. Today, I'm only going to read the first 14 verses of our text, because we're not going to be able to cover this teaching in just one program. So listen now as I read Daniel chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared to me, Daniel, after the one that appeared to me the first time. I saw in the vision, and it so happened while I was looking, that I was in Shushan, the citadel, which is in the province of Elam. And I saw in the vision that I was beside the river Ulai. Then I lifted my eyes and saw, and there, standing beside the river, was a ram which had two horns, and the two horns were high. But one was higher than the other, and the higher one came up last. I saw the ram pushing westward, northward, and southward, so that no animal could withstand him, nor was there any that could deliver from his hand, but he did according to his will, and became great. And as I was considering, suddenly a male goat came from the west, across the surface of the whole earth without touching the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. Then he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing beside the river, and ran at him with furious power. And I saw him confronting the ram. He was moved with rage against him, attacked the ram, and broke his two horns. There was no power in the ram to withstand him, but he cast him down to the ground and trampled him. And there was no one that could deliver the ram from his hand. Therefore, the male goat grew very great. But when he became strong, the large horn was broken, and in place of it, four notable ones came up toward the four winds of heaven. And out of one of them came a little horn, which grew exceedingly great toward the south, toward the east, and toward the glorious land. And it grew up to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host and some of the stars to the ground and trampled them. He even exalted himself as high as the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifices were taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. Because of transgression, an army was given over to the horn to oppose the daily sacrifices, and he cast truth down to the ground. He did all this and prospered. Then I heard a holy one speaking. And another holy one said to that certain one who was speaking, "How long will the vision be concerning the daily sacrifices and the transgression of desolation, the giving of both the sanctuary and the host to be trampled underfoot?" And he said to me, "For 2,300 days, then the sanctuary shall be cleansed." As we begin our study of chapter 8, there are several things we should be aware of. First of all, the language in the original text switches from Aramaic to Hebrew. Now you might say, why is that important? Because God is showing Daniel what will happen in the future, especially as it relates to the people of Israel. While we are looking at the succession of Gentile kingdoms, these kingdoms are set in the context of their impact on the Jewish people. In Daniel's vision, recorded in chapter 7, we saw the broad sweep of human history from Nebuchadnezzar to the end of time as we know it. Here in chapter 8, Daniel's vision is narrower. It's more focused on the Medo-Persian and the Greek empires. And there's another difference between chapter 7 and 8. It's the way Daniel received these visions. If you recall, in chapter 7, he has a dream containing the vision. In chapter 8, he's apparently awake as the vision begins to unfold. And we should also note the linkage between these two visions, especially the use of horns as a symbol of power. This symbolism was common in the ancient Near East, and these horns are referred to numerous times in this chapter. So let's move now to our exploration of the text and look first at the kingdom of Medo-Persia. Daniel tells us in verse 1 that this vision was given to him after the previous one, the one that's recorded in chapter 7. And this one took place in the third year of Belshazzar's reign. In this vision, he was transported from Babylon to Shushan. Now, at the time Daniel was having this vision, Shushan, or Susa, wasn't even under Babylonian control. But Daniel specifically mentions the city and a palace. Susa is familiar to us because it was the place where Queen Esther lived, and it was also the city from which Nehemiah was sent back to Jerusalem. It became the governmental seat of the Medo-Persian Empire. And then Daniel also mentions the river Ulai. We learn from archaeology that this most likely wasn't a real river, but actually a man-made canal that connected two rivers in the area. Daniel finds himself projected into a future time and to a future site that would become an important capital in the kingdom of Persia. These opening verses become the stage for the great drama that is unfolded in Daniel's vision, and that's the conquests of the second and the third empires. In verse 3, Daniel introduces the Medo-Persian kingdom as represented by a ram with two horns. John MacArthur states that the Hebrew text is emphatic in designating this single ram. You and I know that normally sheep and goats come in flocks, but this is a single ram. This kingdom corresponds to the breast of silver in the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream in chapter 2, and it also corresponds to the image of the bear Daniel saw in his vision in chapter 7. And remember, that bear Daniel saw was raised up on one side, signifying that side was more powerful than the other side. Now, again, remember that horns symbolize power. So not only does this ram have two horns, which is normal, but they're big horns. This is a powerful animal. And as Daniel watches, he notices that the one horn is higher than the other. But the higher one, or the stronger one, we might say, came up last. And no one can withstand the onslaught of this ram or deliver others from his power. In just 10 years, Cyrus the Persian conquered the then known world. His progress was irresistible. And remember something else. God referred to Cyrus as my shepherd in Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 28. Now, history tells us that the guardian spirit of the Persian kingdom was depicted as a ram with clean feet and sharp, pointed horns. When the Persian kings went out to battle, they went before their troops carrying not a crown of jewels, like many other kings did, but an image of a ram's head. And the Persian soldiers often wore ram's horns on their helmets. This ram, as Daniel watches, pushes toward the west, the north, and the south. Why doesn't the ram push toward the east? Well, because the ram is coming from the east. The eastern border of the Persian Empire was near the modern-day country of India. In verse 20 of our text, Gabriel informs Daniel that the ram with two horns is the empire of the Medes and the Persians. So it makes sense that one horn represents Media and the other represents Persia. Again, we know from history that the empire of Persia was newer than the empire of Media, but it eventually became the more prominent and more powerful of the two. What Daniel's vision pictures is an irresistible, advancing Persian army, especially in the direction of Palestine, Asia Minor, that's modern-day Turkey, and Egypt. And this leads us to the next kingdom, the Kingdom of Greece. As this ram, the Medo-Persian Empire, is advancing, Daniel sees another animal, a male goat, coming from the west, and he covers the whole earth as he comes. This goat represents the Third World Empire and corresponds to the trunk and legs of brass in Nebuchadnezzar's dream from chapter 2, and then the leopard with four wings from Daniel's vision in chapter 7. Daniel's description of the goat includes a couple of unique things. First, the goat advances without appearing to touch the ground. That must signify the incredible speed of his advance. In addition, he has a notable horn, a very unusual horn. It's between his eyes. This isn't a normal goat. It looks more like a unicorn. And then as Daniel watches, this unusual goat charges the ram with the two horns with the full fury of his power. The King James Version says the goat was moved with choler against the ram, and newer versions use the word rage. The Old English word choler is interesting. It's a reference to bile, a bitter fluid that's secreted by the liver. The Apostle Paul said to Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8 and verse 23, "I perceive that you are in the gall or bile of bitterness, in the bond of iniquity." So this male goat is filled with an uncontrollable rage. He charges the ram that represents the empire of the Medes and Persians. He charges that ram in all of his fury. And the goat's overpowering charge breaks the horns of the ram, and he's left without defense. He's unable to stand before the onslaught of this male goat. And so the ram is overthrown, and he's trampled under the feet of the goat. He comes to a violent end, and there's nothing or anyone who can deliver the ram from the fury of the goat. Now, we don't have to wonder about what this means, because again, Gabriel interprets for Daniel and for us. Gabriel tells us later in the chapter that the goat represents the kingdom of Greece. Most expositors identify the single horn as illustrating the dominant leadership of Alexander the Great. Part of the hatred and rage that's expressed in this text comes from the fact that the Persian Empire had previously attacked Greece. Both Darius and his son Xerxes had conquered some of the Greek city-states and made slaves of the people who lived in them. Now it's time for Greek payback. You know something? All of this has been fulfilled dramatically in history. Alexander's lightning conquest of the Persian Empire is well documented. Beginning in May of 334 BC in Asia Minor, Alexander's forces moved rapidly to subdue the Persians, and they finally triumphed in October of 331 BC. Because Daniel's prophecy is so detailed, liberal critics have claimed that Daniel was writing history instead of prophecy. But you know something? God has no problem foretelling the future, because He planned it and He controls it. My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. We still have quite a bit to learn from this fascinating portion of Scripture. So, Lord willing, we'll return to it next time on The Voice of Hope.
Lord, I will praise you, Lord, I will praise you, Lord, I will praise your name. If the sky and galaxies declare your holy name, if all creation finds the words your power to proclaim, then how can I articulate with words and with my days your glory and your majesty and live a life of praise? And live a life of praise, I will praise you. Oh Lord, I will praise you. My voice will join the chorus that all creation sings. Praise, I will praise you. Oh Lord, I will praise you. My Master, my Redeemer, my Savior and King.
Thank you, men. Now, if you'd like a complete copy of this teaching, just write and request it by its title, Kingdoms in Succession. It's available on an audio CD or in a printed manuscript. And the easiest way for you to make your request is to use our email address. Here it is, hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you can call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Or mail your request to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or you may log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and listen to this teaching at your convenience. Remember, today's teaching is titled, Kingdoms in Succession. If you want to connect with us on Facebook, you can visit our page, where you can see a daily prayer request, learn about upcoming events, or read an encouraging testimony like I read at the beginning of today's program. And it's also an easy way for you to send a message to us. We'd love to hear from you. Once again, you may contact us by email at hope@heraldsofhope.org. By mail, The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Or visit our website, heraldsofhope.org, to learn more about the ministry and how you can become a partner with us. And while you're there, you can also listen to any of our archived programming when you visit the site. If you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter or donate online at heraldsofhope.org or by calling our toll-free number 866-960-0292. We depend upon God's grace and your fervent prayers, along with your generous financial support, to keep the Voice of Hope on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now I'll look for you next week. Lord willing, we'll continue our study, Kingdoms in Succession. And until we meet again, thank God for the lighthouse.
There's a light.